Thank you for joining me again today, and as always, here on God Is, I am using the Bible. I want the very words of God to be the center of each broadcast, and this week, we have been discovering all that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 52 has to say to us. Let me read that again for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 52 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." This describes a still future event called the rapture of the church. I'll tell you more about what rapture means in a minute. It's not a raptor, like the bird of prey or the Ford truck. It's the rapture, R-A-P-T-U-R-E. But just before I define the word, let me also read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 16 through 18, because the Apostle Paul also describes the rapture in these words. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." As you listen, you can tell how similar the description is between Paul's letter to the Corinthians and Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Both of these texts describe the rapture of the church from the world. So what does rapture mean? Our English word rapture actually comes from the Latin word raptura, and the equivalent Greek word used in the New Testament means to suddenly remove or snatch away. So when we talk about the rapture, we are talking about how Jesus Christ suddenly snatches away all Christians, that is, the church, as described in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians. Those Christians already dead rise from the dead, and when Jesus snatches us away, he takes us to heaven. Remember, this event, the rapture, still has not happened yet. And so yesterday we started to deal with three questions the event of the rapture might raise within your mind. And so first, I asked and answered, what will their risen bodies be like after being dead for so long? Based on the Bible, I said that God will make the risen bodies perfect, and therefore this will not be a smelly, disgusting trudging up of decaying bodies. The second question was one that was posed by a non-believer. What happens at this future moment to the Christian who, say, is alive and working with me in my office? And I was just using work as an example. Here is how I answered that. The Christian will obviously be working beside you in a physical, perishable, corrupt, and mortal body. But in this sudden moment, your Christian colleague's body will be changed. Paul says this twice. In verse 51, he writes, "We will all be changed." And in verse 52, "We will be changed." This Christian person's body will, again, in the twinkling of an eye, be made perfect, imperishable. And then, quickly, the Christian will be gone. Poof, disappeared. Where did he? Where did she go? In fact, you know some other Christians outside your office, and they're gone too. They have left the earth. What's even more troubling is that all Christian people everywhere in the whole world are gone. All the church buildings are empty the following Sunday. The news media is stunned. The internet goes crazy. Where have all the Christians gone? 4:30 p.m. rolls around and I am no longer speaking to you. Family members who are Christians have also disappeared. The Bible tells us exactly where that Christian colleague of yours has gone, where all these true believers have gone. Jesus has taken them to heaven. Paul says, when that trumpet sounds, those Christians already dead, what he calls here the dead in Christ, will rise first. And then immediately to follow, we who are alive and remain, such as your colleague who loves Jesus Christ, will be caught up together, will rise together with them in perfected bodies, meeting Jesus in the clouds as he descends from heaven to greet us. But today we come to our third question, posed also by someone who is not a Christian. What happens to you and all the other people who don't believe in Christ and who are not following him as Christians? Or what if this rapture happens and you don't love Jesus Christ? Today, let me answer that third and important question. Answer, you remain here on earth. You will carry on with your life, but following the rapture of the church, the snatching away of all Christians, God will initiate a 7-year period of what the Bible calls tribulation on earth. Let's listen to Jesus describe this time of tribulation. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21, Jesus says, "For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will." That's Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. And this word tribulation means affliction, trouble, and anguish. The image is of pressing or rubbing together. People who do not believe in Jesus Christ will be left on the earth and experience a tribulation that will feel like they are being pressed together, rubbed together with affliction, trouble, and anguish. And why? Because this is a period of time in which God unleashes his judgment for sin on the people left behind. His judgment. You can read about every one of these judgments in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, the final book of the Bible. But I only have time now to summarize them. Global war, with 1/4 of the people killed. In today's numbers, that's over 1 billion people dead. Famine, earthquakes, hail and fire from heaven, rivers ruined, and even 1/3 less sun, moonlight, and stars, which will therefore extend the darkness of the night. God is going to send his judgment following the snatching away of all Christians. I believe it will happen. The Bible says it will happen, and I accept that it'll happen. And the question for you who reject Jesus Christ as the only one who can save you from this is really something you have to wrestle with. Would you like to be raptured, snatched away by Christ with all the other Christians, given a perfect body, and go to heaven? Or do you prefer to stay here and experience the tribulation that God will send to the whole wide world? Every person alive at this time, remaining on the earth, will be affected by the tribulation. So what do you want? And I wonder, if you're listening to me and you do not follow Jesus, you do not love and obey Jesus, you're not a Christian person, do you want to be left behind? Do you want to endure the coming tribulation? A few days ago on Sunday, Christians celebrated the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You see, my friends, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead really, really matters. His resurrection is practical. It's not only theological. I'm not just some preacher spouting off something that has no meaning in your everyday, busy New England life. If Jesus has not risen from the dead, then our faith is useless. If Jesus has not risen, then I'm wasting my time and energy. But because he has risen from the dead, then our faith is useful. And this is a faith, a belief in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that gives us great and everlasting hope. We know what is coming, and we are assured of being snatched away before the tribulation. That is, those of us who believe this. If you would like to know the future, if you would like to escape this tribulation, then today will you write to me or speak with one of your Christian friends or family members? If you write me an email, you could just say something like, "I want to know more about this." My email address, to be repeated soon, is mark@markaeswallow.com. And I strongly encourage you to write to me today. Now, let me say the following to you who have perhaps even long ago already accepted that everything that Paul has written to these churches is the gospel truth. Aren't you both encouraged and comforted by your future? I'm not sure if you caught it when I read it, but in the very last sentence of 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18, the Apostle Paul says this, verse 18, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." The reason why Paul wrote about the rapture to the Thessalonians is that they were worried that their already dead brothers and sisters in Christ would miss Christ coming on the clouds for his people. And so Paul is assuring them, our brothers and sisters will rise first and see him, and then we will follow. Of course, now Paul, who assumed and lived as if this rapture would happen in his lifetime, is now long dead. But we must live with this ever-ready anticipation. We live in the hope that at any moment, without prior notice, the trumpet will sound, and we will see Jesus. Praise God, we will see the Lord. We began this discussion on Monday, and I asked if you like a good mystery. Paul starts off 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, I tell you a mystery. Well, the mystery he writes about is not unsolved, but solved in Christ. I asked what you would think if I could tell you exactly what will happen in the future. Put another way, I asked what you would think if I believed what God says about the future, if I then read to you what he says and then explained it. And that is what I have done thus far this week. So what do you think? Do you agree that this is the future? Do you disagree? Do you have another perspective? Or perhaps you like the Apostle Paul's perspective. You also want comfort for your future. Then be obedient to God today. Come along with me and follow my master teacher, my savior from sin, the Lord and ruler of my life, Jesus Christ. As Christ people gather together all over the world on Easter Sunday, one would say to the other, He is risen. And the other will reply, He is risen indeed. Christians believe deeply in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And this is a practical matter for us because we believe that Christ leads the way for us to follow. That is, since Christ has risen, we too shall rise again. He is risen indeed. This fills us with such hope and joyful anticipation for seeing the Lord. My prayer is that you will be with us on this brilliant day, whenever it may be. Until then, endure and join me tomorrow, for God is risen.